I have a picture that I want to show you. Study that picture for just a moment. And if you said that that is a banana duct taped to a wall, you would be correct. Now, I want to tell you a little bit more about this picture and what you're seeing here. This banana duct taped to a wall is a piece of artwork entitled Comedian. And the actual banana duct taped to a wall was entered into an art auction in New York City in December of 2019. Now, because it is such a unique piece of art, it was estimated that it would sell for a meager price of $1.5 million. But the estimate wasn't even close, because there were six people who really got in on the bidding for this unique piece of art, and it finally sold for $6.2 million. True story. The buyer was Justin Sun, who is a crypto entrepreneur, and the artist who laughed his way all the way to the bank was a fella from Italy. I can't even begin to tell you what his name was. It's too long. It's too complicated. But this artist, if you can call him that, would later say that he had just come from a fruit stand in Upper Manhattan where he bought this banana for 35 cents. I don't know how much a roll of duct tape cost, but not much. He didn't have much in this piece of art at all. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? The fellow who sold the banana heard about what happened. He had sold the banana to this fellow for 35 cents, and when he heard that it had sold for $6.2 million, he just started crying. I mean, we live in a crazy upside-down world, don't we? And there are a lot of other words that I could use to describe the person who would pay this much money for a banana duct taped to a wall. Stupid is one of them, if you would let me use that word here. Foolish is another word. How about this? Arrogant. Irresponsible. And yes, no doubt, he's filthy rich, according to the world standards, to be able to pay that much for this piece of art. And I'm wondering, too, if maybe, and I don't mean to judge him, I don't know him, but I'm wondering if maybe there's a little bit of greed there. Because it's pretty hard to have that much money that you can just throw away and not be tempted with some greed. In our text today from the book of James, the subject of greed is addressed. Let me read to you from James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you cries out against you, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you. Again, James is not hesitant to address the hard subjects. And he doesn't sugarcoat his message to anyone. Apparently, there were some people in the church who were rich that were oppressing the poor. Now, you may remember in this time frame, there were what we would call day laborers. They would work in the fields for the landowners, and they expected to be paid at the end of the day their wages. These day laborers were dependent upon those end of the day wages to feed their family. And yet, the landowners in this case were being greedy. They were withholding the wages from these people who were expecting that food money for them. They were the landowners were increasing their own wealth at the expense of the working class under them. They were living a life of luxury, the text says. They were living in self-indulgence. If you read from the New Living Translation, it says it this way, verse 5, I think it is, "You have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fattened your heart or yourselves for the day of slaughter." In other words, there's coming a day. There's coming a day of accountability for these landowners. They're taking full advantage of those who are working underneath them. They're living a life of luxury, a life of self-indulgence. They're eating bananas that cost millions of dollars, and yet they are ignoring those people who are in need and dependent upon them. They're being merciless. They were being greedy. They're fattening themselves, the scripture says, for a day of slaughter. There's going to be a day, James says, that you're going to stand before the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Lord of the Sabbath, and He will hold you accountable for your greed. Now, I wonder, do we today still deal with greed? I think we do, and that is especially true living in America. We have everything and anything right at our fingertips, and Satan is dangling all of that stuff right there in front of us, and he's telling us that we really do need all of that stuff to be happy. That next dollar, that next gadget, that next house, that next vehicle, that next toy, that next gun, that next new outfit, that next new iPhone. That is exactly what you need to be happy, Satan is saying. That's what you need to be fulfilled. And Jesus, on the other hand, through the letter of James, is saying to us that all is a lie. That is a lie straight from the Father of lies. The more we have our ears and our mind tuned into the voice of the world, the more we have to deal with greed. And so this morning, I want to give to you some biblical advice on how to overcome greed. Now, keep in mind, you don't have to be rich to deal with greed. The person who is in the middle class, the person who is very poor, they have to deal with greed too. We just have to always want more than what we have, thinking that something more is going to be exactly what we're looking for. And it will not. John D. Rockefeller was known for his answer to the question, how much money does it take to be happy? You remember what he said? $1 more. The things of this world will never satisfy. And yet Satan keeps dangling those things in front of us. And if we're not careful, we can be easily taken captive by him. And so back to that question, how do we overcome greed? First of all, we need to fill ourselves up with Jesus. Instead of filling ourselves up with things that don't satisfy, we need to fill ourselves up with the one who does satisfy, and that is Jesus. Would you look with me at John chapter 10, verse 10? If you don't have your Bibles, look on the screen. It'll be behind me, chapter 10, verse 10. The thief, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The thief, of course, is the devil. And he has no good intention for us. Jesus says his intention for us is to kill us, to destroy us, to bring destruction against us. And Jesus says, on the other hand, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." The New Living Translation treats that verse this way: "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." And believe me, that promise has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with the world's riches. It has everything to do with fulfillment. Do you want to have a life that is full, a life of meaning? Do you want to have a life of purpose? That kind of life is found in Jesus. It's not found out there in the world. It's not found in a bottle. It's not found in the next relationship. It's not found in the next gadget that you might buy. A true life is found in Jesus, and we need to fill ourselves up with Jesus. I pray that prayer for my kids and grandkids all the time. I pray that prayer for Cindy and I, that we all together as a family would chase after Jesus. That we would desire Jesus more than anything else. You know, it is said that a person should not go grocery shopping when they are hungry. Have you heard that? Now, I have to be honest with you. Cindy does 99.9% of our grocery shopping. But if you ever see me in the grocery store, it's because we've run out of something, or I'm getting something that she needs. I will have just one or two or half a dozen items that she's written down, and I'm there looking for those items. But I can tell you for sure, if I were grocery shopping for our family and I was hungry, I mean really hungry, I might even think a hot dog looked good. And I might be tempted to buy a package of hot dogs. That's what happens when you're shopping and you're hungry. And I think you probably know where I'm going with this. If we will fill ourselves up with Jesus, then we'll not always be shopping for something more. He is the one who satisfies. He is everything that we need. Listen to what Solomon had to say in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. "Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless." Would you say this with me? Only Jesus satisfies. Would you say that with me? Only Jesus satisfies. Parents, please be teaching your kids this truth. And please model for them this truth in your life. If we're giving our kids every toy in the world, and if we ourselves are chasing after the next best good toy for ourselves, then we are leading our kids down a dead-end road. We must show them through our life, not just through our words. They do need to hear us say this, but they need to see it in our life as well, that only Jesus satisfies. Now, we're talking about this morning, remember, how to overcome greed. And it's something that all of us have to deal with. And the number one way, according to Scripture, to overcome greed in our life is simply to fill ourselves up with the one who can truly fill us up, Jesus. Let me give to you a second point. If you want to overcome greed, we must fill ourselves up with the Word of God. You remember that's how Jesus overcame the devil in those wilderness temptations. He quoted Scripture to the devil, and what did the devil do? Turn tail and run. Now, he did come back. He kept coming back. Jesus kept quoting Scripture to him. And you've heard me say this many, many times in my preaching. The best way to fight the devil and to put him on the run is to quote to him the Word of God. He cannot stand in the presence of this book. It's too powerful for him. It's the truth, and he doesn't like the truth. It's an offensive weapon that we have in the arsenal that is ours. You remember Ephesians chapter 6, it's called the armor of God, and this book right here is called what? The sword of the Spirit. It's the offensive weapon that God has given to us to do battle with the evil one. We need to take this sword and stick it to the devil, and he will flee from us. How about this passage of Scripture, 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now, we could spend a lot of time talking about those two verses, but I simply want to point out to you that these scriptures remind us that not money, but the love of money can lead us down a road of destruction. And sometimes we get that confused. We get to thinking that money, Scripture says that money is bad. No, money's not bad. Money is a very neutral thing. It can be good, it can be bad. What's bad is the love of money, Paul says. When we start being consumed with $1 more, and so Paul warns us against that. Keep that truth as a sword, as Satan is dangling all of this stuff in front of you, wanting you to be greedy, wanting you to be consumed with the world. Keep that passage of Scripture in mind and stick that sword right into his gut and send him on the run, that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And that many, many people have gone down that path and found destruction. They have not found fulfillment, but they have found destruction. How about this particular verse? Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Then he said, this is Jesus speaking, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Hear that? Life is not measured by how much you own. I think we could say life is better measured by who you know. And that's Jesus. 1 John 5:12 says it very plainly, he who has the Son has the life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. I'll give you one more passage of Scripture that if you use this passage as a sword, it can put the devil on the run. Therefore, this is Colossians 3:5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Do you see from this passage of Scripture what is synonymous with greed? Paul says idolatry is synonymous with greed. Now, we can't hardly think of ourselves ever bowing down to an idol made out of wood or stone, but that's exactly what we're doing when we fall to greed. And so, take that sword and use it against the devil, and die to greed, according to that passage of Scripture. Let me give to you a third point. If you want to overcome greed, then work on becoming a giver. Let that sink in. If you want to overcome greed, then work on being a giver. Have an open hand instead of a closed hand. Ask God to help you become more of a giver, and that would be your mindset. Instead of that mindset of, I want more, I want to accumulate more to my name, instead of having that mindset, pray that God would help you to be thinking about, I just want to give. I really don't need all this stuff. I want to give to help others, and I want to give to the kingdom of God. I want to give to His glory, that His name might be built up. Not that my name would be built up at all, but that it's His name that is at stake, and I want His name to be lifted up above every other name. And to remember what Jesus said through Luke's pen in the book of Acts, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Do you believe Jesus spoke the truth? Sure you do. You wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't believe that. We believe strongly here at this church that Jesus always spoke the truth. And so let those words sink into your heart and mind. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And so it makes sense that we would work at becoming better givers, knowing that there is a special blessing there for us. Austin talked about that during the time here with the meditation about the offering. It just feels good to give. Not just that God's going to give back to us, and He does that. And I'm going to talk about that here in just a moment. But it just feels good to be a giver. And then to know that He does bless us as we give. I was thinking about this, you know, these last couple of days looking at this sermon and this morning. We give to Him to further His kingdom. We give to others to help them in their time of need. And our way of giving, you know those little plastic shovels that we give to our kids when they're going to go to the beach and they're going to make sand castles, and we give them that bucket and a little plastic shovel, and it's about that big. And that's our shovel. As we give to others, we're giving with that size shovel. And then as God gives back to us, He gets the old scoop out. And He's blessing us over and over again. And all you have to do is just test Him in this, Malachi says. Test me. This is God speaking through the prophet Malachi. Test me now in this to see if this isn't true. That if you will tithe of your income, I will open up the windows of heaven. I will pour forth a blessing upon you through that scoop shovel more than what you can even handle. You say, you mean He'll really give me money back? If I give Him five, He's going to give me 10 back? I'm not saying that at all. Now, He might do that. But there's all kinds of ways that God blesses us, more than just through cash back. It may be that that old car just keeps on going and keeps on going. It won't quit. It may be that those appliances that you have, and you've had them for years, and they just keep on working. It may be with fewer trips to the doctor. It could be any number of ways that God pours His blessings upon us because we have been faithful to Him through our giving of His of what He's given to us in the first place. Now, a person may come to Reinhardt and think that we talk a lot about money here. And I don't know, maybe we do. Because every Sunday, we have somebody stand up here, one of our men stand up here in the front, and after they've given a communion meditation, then they give an offering appeal. They may say a few words about the offering, and they'll always, now there's plates in the back, there's baskets in the back. You can give on your way out. We hear that every week. And then you hear us talking about a fifth Sunday offering that's going to happen even next week. And we hope to raise $20,000 through two offerings. Next Sunday's offering and next November. We're looking ahead a year from now. Next November has a fifth Sunday offering too. And we have committed to Good News Productions International and their effort to take the gospel to all of the world. We have committed to them that we will support their effort through two offerings of $20,000. And we need your help with that. And if we don't do that, the general budget will come in and make up the difference. But you know what? I think we can. I think we can do more than that. And we've promised Good News already that anything over $20,000, it's going to go to them in these two offerings. And you say, man, Reinhardt's talking a lot about money. I thought they just were talking about Operation Christmas Child here recently, and that costs money. We're collecting goods. We're collecting canned goods for community outreach last week and this week Man, we talk a lot about money. You know what? It's not that we are after your money. I promise you, we are not after your money, but we are after your heart in the name of Jesus and for His glory. And we know what Jesus said, that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so unashamedly, you will hear us talk about money, because it's a part of our following Jesus. What you invest your money into is where your heart is going to be. And so I ask you sincerely to invest more and more into the kingdom of God, and you will never regret it. And this is a very important step towards overcoming greed. The more of a giver that we are, then the less we're going to be entrenched in greed. And the more of a giver that we are, the more quickly we'll realize this really, Jesus knew what he was talking about. This really is the way to live. This really is the way to fulfillment, is to have an open hand rather than a closed hand. And you're sending treasures on ahead of you into heaven. And Jesus said, when you do that, they can never be taken away from you. Well, I said it earlier at the start of the sermon, it's easy to be greedy in America. All the stuff is so accessible. And the more we have, the more we think we need. But if we will soften our heart towards giving in the name of Jesus, it will help us in our battle against greed. And we'll be more in leaning into thanksgiving, won't we? Really? That's what this week's all about, is being a thankful people. And as we have an open hand, I think God's going to help us be more thankful than if we're all about ourselves and what we can get for ourselves. Let's pray together.